thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, if you're still standing at home, you can take your seat. Like Clive and my husband mentioned, you know, when the second 3 weeks of lockdown, they've done it very cleverly, haven't they? They kind of announced it for 3 weeks, and then 3 days later announced that it would start again for another 3 weeks 3 days later, and so they kind of sneaked a week in the middle. Maybe you didn't notice. I noticed these things. But when I heard that lockdown had been extended, something on the inside of me said, no, I'm not having it as a silencing of the love and word of God. And something that's been on my heart for quite some time, for several months, I just immediately spoke to my husband and said, my love, I believe now is the time to put Dream Stealers online and for me to record this course. And, you know, I really, really poured myself out. You know, I always pour out, but at the end of 2 days of filming Dream Stealers online, and here we've got it, I literally felt like I'd poured everything out. And I just believe it is going to help you. We're going to release it on my birthday because I thought, you know what, we're not going to be able to, probably not going to be able to all be together. I'm not prophesying it, I'm just guessing. So I thought, you know what, I'm just going to release something to the world that is going to be able to help people. So all the information about how to get hold of that, it's going to be via my website. It's going to be for sale there, but I just know that God is going to use it in a really wonderful way. But I want to get into the word this morning. And just by way of a little sort of root in to this word, you know, how many of you know that once you discover your mandate, your mission, your purpose, then your heart longs to accomplish what God has designed you to do. You just end up with this longing. It says in the book of James that desire gives birth. And when we desire something, it just stirs on the inside. And I want to talk for a little while about the mandate and mission of Jesus. And then we're going to go on a journey. And really, I want to speak today, and I've never really ministered a message exactly like this before, because I really want to minister on how to bring healing to your heartache. And I want to, as I look in the mandate and mission of Jesus, I want you to know that his mandate is also his longing. What he was sent by the Father to accomplish until the last human being leaves planet Earth is his longing for our lives. And so I'm going to read from Isaiah 61. And if you remember in the book of Luke, he stood up and announced his own arrival by preaching exactly these verses in the synagogue. In other words, he was confirming that this is my mission, this is my mandate, this is what I'm called to do. And it is therefore also his longing. And so I'm going to read Isaiah 61, verses 1 to 3. And it says, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified." I want to pick up on three parts of Jesus' mandate, his mission, and his longing. And we're going to look first at the heart of Jesus, and then we're going to look at how do we respond to the heart of Jesus. And you know, this season, whether you are a harvester watching who has really been personally impacted and affected by the passing of our wonderful Pastor Toki, whether you're a harvester that's been really impacted by that, whether you're a harvester who maybe has just joined the church and so maybe you didn't know him so well, or maybe you're watching from somewhere else in the world. You know, I know that God wants to speak to you and he wants to do a work today in your heart. But I want to look at three of those parts of Jesus' mandate. And the first is this, because it says that Jesus was sent, that his job, he came to earth to bring good tidings, bring good news to the poor. And I looked up the definition of the poor because I've always kind of slightly wondered about that statement, because I kind of thought, well, I really know God loves the rich as well. Anyone know that? You know, I know that he loves the rich. I know he wants to reach the rich. You know, and there are some people who seem to have these amazing anointings to bring the gospel to people in Hollywood, to people, you know, in some big footsie, whatever they are, 100, 200, can't remember, etc. You understand my point. And so I was kind of like, I wonder why the mandate of Jesus is focused specifically on a socioeconomic group in this verse. And we know lots of other verses that say, give us a more broad spectrum. But I looked up the word poor. And in the Hebrew, it's a word anar that is made up of two words. One word means depressed, and the other word means looking down or brow beaten. You see, there is a special place in the heart of Jesus for those. You see, what does depressed mean? Depressed is when the wind has been knocked out of you. That's when, if you think of the physical word depression, it's not strictly speaking about a condition that a human being may have diagnosed by a doctor. The word depression means when you take the wind, when you depress something that is big and you flatten it out. The best way of thinking of it is when the wind is taken out of something. And so Jesus is saying, do you know what? I've come to bring a good message to those who feel like they've had the wind sucked out of them, to those who are looking down, who are beaten down by life. I've got a good message for you. And so if that's you right now, I want you to know that the Lord Jesus came for this moment, for the time when you needed to hear something that would enable you to rise again. The second statement that I want to look at is, he has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. You know, the brokenhearted means the crushed. The brokenhearted is those who are devastated. The brokenhearted are also those who feel heartache and sadness, those whose hearts aren't feeling well. And Jesus came to heal your heart. Your heart will forever matter to Jesus. He minds how your heart is. It matters to him. And you know, I want to look at another scripture. Psalm 147 verse 3 says, he heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. Now, here we have two different words being used. He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. And there's a reason why I'm telling you this, because that first one, he heals, is a Hebrew word, rapa, which means cures. In other words, he brings the result. He brings the cure. In other words, he's going to make sure that the total work of healing is completed. But you see, the second word there, it says he binds up. And that's a Hebrew word, habas, and it means to bandage, to tend to. It's the kind of picture, I want you to imagine a mother who's such a tender-hearted, loving mother, and her little child, and it's Mother's Day in much of the world, so happy Mother's Day to every mother for whom it's Mother's Day. But imagine a really loving mother, and their child has badly grazed their leg, and their little boy comes running into mummy's arms going, "Mummy, mummy, it's hurting." And she just wraps him up in her arms, and then she starts to very gently clean out the wound, and then to put ointment on it, and then to bandage it up. You see, the very process of her looking after her little boy in that moment will have made him feel loved. Feel just the compassion and kindness of that person's mum. Well, it's that word that we see in Jesus' mandate. He came to bind up the brokenhearted. He came to tend to every wound, to every hurt, to every heartache. He doesn't want to just wham, bam, thank you, ma'am, kind of give you the result, but he will do that. But he wants you to know that in the very process, that he sees the pain, he sees the sadness, he sees how much it hurt you. And he wants to tend to the sadness, the pain, the hurt, the heartache. So that even in the journey of your healing, just like a little boy will know, wow, my mum loves me so much. And I feel so loved by the way she looked after me. You see, he wants you to know how much he loves you. He wants you to come out the other side of any hurt, any pain, any sadness, not only healed, but knowing his love more than you ever have before. And that is the second longing of the heart of Jesus that I want to touch on. And the third is his longing to comfort all who mourn. 2 Corinthians 1 verse 3 says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort." And then verse 4, and I'm going to switch to the Amplified. It says, "Who comforts, consoles and encourages us in every trouble, calamity and affliction, so that we may also be able to comfort, console and encourage those in any kind of trouble or distress with the comfort, consolation and encouragement with which we ourselves are comforted by God." You see, God wants to do a deep work of comfort in our hearts every time we're hurt. And when we're mourning, when we're missing, when we're experiencing the sadness of somebody that we loved going to glory early and being taken out of our lives as a result of sickness, you know, there is that mourning. But it's the heart of God, the longing of Jesus. He says, "Will you just let me do a work deep on the inside? Will you give me permission? Will you give me access? Will you allow me to do a work in you?" You see, when we say, "God, I'm going to let you have my pain. I'm going to surrender my sadness. I'm going to let you do a work deep down on the inside." You see, not only are we making a decision, "Lord, I'm going to surrender to you." You know, surrender isn't just about like, "Yes, I'll go here when you ask me to go here." Surrender isn't just about submitting or obeying to those people he's placed in our lives. Surrender isn't just about saying, I'll go follow in your will for my life. You see, surrender is also when we say, "I'm willing to surrender my sorrow." It takes a surrender. You know, it is a journey. The heart is complex. It's deep. Pain hides. But you see, It's not about going, I'm going to try and work out how to surrender it all right now. It's about saying every time I feel some sorrow, I'm going to surrender it. And I'm going to show you how in a little while. In fact, we're going to go there now because I want to look at, just listen, the heart is complex, but I felt so strongly impressed that God wanted me just to help you on your way to dealing with pain in the right way. Because, you know, there is a healthy way to respond to hurt, and there's an unhealthy way. There is the Jesus way to respond to sadness and grief, and then there's the other way. And just as in our lives, we want to do everything God's way, please, can I beseech you, I don't think I've ever used that word, but can I encourage you to make that decision that I am going to seek, even in the area of my sadness, my sorrow, I'm going to seek to always deal with it the Jesus way. And so we're going to look at how can we really heal of heartache? How can we heal? You see, I'm going to look at four particular, I don't want to call them steps because the heart isn't like that, but four particular decisions that I think are going to help you no matter what you may have gone through. And the first is this. You see, our soul is made up of our mind, our will, and our emotions. We have to use our will to allow our emotions to be healed. But we have to make sure that our minds don't prevent us, don't become a barrier to the healing work that God wants to do. And I'm going to explain what I mean. Because the first thing that we've got to do, the first decision is we've got to... Now, when you shelve something, you put it away for another day. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Shelving is when we put it away for another day. And there's times, you know, you might be a parent, and there's times when you say to your children, no, 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 come on, we're going to put that away for another day now. That's enough. Stop. You know, and so when we shelve something, we're not saying, I'm not going to look at this. We say, I'm going to put it away for another day. And so the first thing, in order to make sure that your mind doesn't prevent your emotions from being healed, the first thing we need to do is shelve confusion. And I'm going to lead us all in prayer at the end. But you see, what does Ecclesiastes 3:1 says? It says, to everything there is a season, a time for every purpose. You see, there is a time to really look at things that are confusing to us. There is a time to address issues that we just go, I don't understand. But when our hearts are really badly hurting, that's not, or probably not, the time. And let me explain why. Let me explain by giving you an example from my life. I remember after our daughter died in the year 2000, I remember saying out of my mouth several times to people in the first few months, maybe 3-4 months after she died, I would sit with people, especially people in our church who I was close to, friends, and I would say, when I know why she had to die, then I can start to heal. You see, my confusion about what did my little girl ever do wrong? She was two. You know, what did we do wrong? What went wrong? Who did something wrong? All that confusion had become a mental barrier that had stopped me being able to really allow my heart to be healed. And the honest truth is, that's how it is. When in our heads, you know, we're just thinking, oh my goodness, why? You see, what happens is that we end up with a mental barrier, a wall that prevents our hearts from being healed. And I know that you may, in relation to this, what we've gone through as a church, or maybe it's something else from your past, I don't know what it is that you are facing, But you see, if you've had mental torment, why? I don't understand. If only this doesn't make sense. This is too hard to get my head round. You see, it's never worth saying this is too hard to get my heart round. Your heart doesn't need to get round that. Your heart needs to heal. And so the first decision that we need to make is that we need to say, do you know what, Lord, I'm going to shelve my confusion. You know, when I gave up on asking that question, why, about my daughter, that was when I started to heal. I delayed my own healing journey by 4 months. I started to heal when I laid down why, when I laid down my confusion, when I shelved the tormenting thoughts. And so that's the first step. That's the first decision, rather. And the second thing, you see, we're still really, at the moment, dealing with the realm of the mind, because our minds can really get in the way. And the second thing I want to look at is we need to lay down any lies that we're believing. And let me give you two examples. And the first is this, and this is a big one in the church. And it goes something like this. There are some things so bad, I'll never recover. There are some things so awful that I'll have to carry some sadness with me all my life. And then we almost try and use scripture to make it sound like it's right. You know, somehow Jacob limping means that I'll have this limp in my heart. But you see, if you look at what Jesus came to do, at his entire mandate and mission. Do you remember I said there are two words used? He came to heal the brokenhearted, to bring the ultimate outcome of total healing. And so if I'm believing the lie that there are some things so bad I'll never recover, then my own mindset is going to get in the way of me receiving my healing. We've got to lay down lies. And that's the first one. Something so bad will never recover. You may have believed that about something that's happened in your life. I've seen people who've gone through abuse believe it. People who've gone through terrible rape. People who have lost a parent when they've been, you know, 11, 12, at that formative moment of their lives. I've seen people who have gone through all sorts of tragedies hold on to that. But we've got to make a decision. I'm going to lay it down if it doesn't line up with Scripture. And I'm going to instead allow hope to arise on the inside. You know, I heard recently that someone once heard me say that, you know, I have no sadness left in my heart concerning my 2-year-old daughter who died. And when she first heard it, she thought, she can't be telling the truth. You know, because sometimes these lies are so ingrained in our lives. But you know what? I have no sadness concerning my daughter who died. I have no sadness concerning my dad who died 2 years ago. And I have no sadness, and it sounds cruel to some people, concerning my spiritual mother who died in November, because I kept pushing and pressing. Every time pain came up, I did something with it. You see, God is able to completely heal our hearts, but it is a journey. And of course, when someone really, really close is taken from us, it's a deeper journey and a longer journey than when someone who is, you know, a little more distant from us goes. But no matter what it is, childhood atrocities, seeing awful things happen, or losing someone we really, 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 really love, God is able to do a finished work. The second point I want to touch on, because it's important again that our hope and our faith is lined up with Scripture. You know, we've all been singing that amazing song that came out from Elevation Worship, Numbers 6, 24 to 26. I was just thinking, wow, imagine receiving that song and now seeing the whole world sing it. And I love that Nana led us in that 2 weeks ago. But it says, Numbers 6, 24 to 26, it says, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Now, one of the few words that virtually everyone knows in the Hebrew is the word peace. We all know that it's shalom in the Hebrew. But you see, what does shalom mean? You know, when you really dig down into what that word peace means, it's huge. It means total well-being, total reaching that place where everything is well on the inside. And I heard an amazing teaching once about it that defined it as nothing missing, nothing broken. You see, another lie that can become so ingrained is that we think there are certain things we're always going to miss, you know? And we kind of believe that it's inevitable, again, if we lose someone, that we'll always miss them. And we somehow think that that's different to still hurting or still needing healing. But you see, when I miss someone, it's because there's a void. When I miss someone, it's because there's an emptiness. And it is heartache. To miss someone hurts. I can tell you, my son has been in Canada, honestly. He has been in Canada, March, April, and what's the date? I don't know the date. Lockdown is May. I mean, I know it's Sunday because I'm here with you. But he's been gone like 2 and a bit months. And honestly, I think he's been gone a year. Because I'm like, where is my son? And I know he always watches the message. I miss you, Benji. He watches it later because he gets up late. It's early his time, but I miss you, Benji. You know, and that's okay that I miss him because he's coming back. You understand? But you see, there's an emptiness. But when we reach the place of a complete restoration, healing on the inside, we reach that place where nothing is missing anymore because our miracle-working God has done something so deep on the inside that he's filled the void, that he's filled the vacuum, and there is wholeness. I don't know how long it took. I don't remember. But I've heard parents who've lost children 20, 30 years after they died say, I miss you every day. I think it was maybe a year and a half that I stopped missing my daughter because God had healed my heart, he'd healed my husband's heart, and he'd filled the void. You see, it's the longing of Jesus I've been talking about. He wants to be our all in all. He wants to fill the void. That's the second decision, that we lay down lies. Number three. We need to face the truth. We need to tell the truth. What does it say in Psalm 51, 6? It says, behold, you desire truth in the inward parts. You might be saying, well, what's this got to do with healing? It's got so much to do with healing. It's in the inward parts. I need to be healed. And so sometimes the very blockage to our healing is, again, something that we don't want to face. You know, I'll just give a couple of examples. When Abby went through a horrible cycling accident and she was smashed up in her face and broke her jaw in two places, broke her wrist, and, you know, she was just a mess when I got home from America and saw her for the first time 2 days after it happened, and it was awful. And of course, my heart was hurting for my little girl. I mean, you know, she was 15 then, but she was like my little girl. She always will be. And all parents know what I'm talking about. Say amen. They're always our babies. I was hurting. My heart was hurting over her pain. But there was a really unpleasant truth I had to face that was blocking me. And I couldn't be healed. You see, you might say, well, it wasn't about you. Of course it wasn't. It was about her. But how was I going to help her heal if I wasn't healed? How can we help someone else on their healing journey if we are stuck ourselves? We need to get unstuck. We need to get healed so that we can help someone else. That's what 2 Corinthians is all about that I read. He comforts us so we can comfort others. So I knew I need, and I'm stuck at one thing. And this was my one thing that was horrible. This is why it's the truth. The truth is sometimes a bitter pill to swallow. My truth was, I wasn't there when she needed me most. I was across the world in America when my little girl needed me most. I wasn't there. You know, I didn't know then that my husband had coped fine and he'd been everything she needed. I didn't know all that. All I knew in that moment was girls need their mums. My little girl needed her mum. And I wasn't there. And so I had to face my truth. I had to tell the truth to God. I got into his presence and said, Lord, I wasn't there when she needed me. And I cried. And then the pain of seeing her pain now could get out because the lie had been dealt with. Because I'd told the truth. Because I'd stopped denying it. You might say, how's that a lie? Well, I mean, we don't want to face certain things that are so horrible. And for you to be healed, there might be some truth you need to just tell God. Father, you know, sometimes when we've lost someone and we feel like our last interaction with that person wasn't what we wanted it to be. And that sometimes can end up being the barrier, the mental barrier between us and our healing. And we need to go to God and tell the truth. Father, the last time I saw that person, or the last time I spoke about that person, or the last thing that happened in relation to that person was this, and I did this, and But when we let the truth out, when we tell the truth, we literally unblock our hearts so that they can be healed. You know, I was chatting to somebody on the phone yesterday afternoon. And you know, we think, like, what does the Bible say in Joshua? Be strong, be courageous. Let me tell you what strength and courage look like in the midst of heartache. Strength and courage is having the strength to face the truth and say, God, I wish it hadn't happened this way. It hurts me that I did this, or it hurts me that I wasn't there. Strength looks like facing the truth. Courage looks like saying, I'm willing to look my pain in the face and let it out. You know, we don't just get healed for our sake. In fact, I would never find that motivation enough to get healed for my own sake. Because every time we get healed, we have to walk into our pain. We get healed for Jesus' sake, so that he can use us, so that he can inhabit every single corner and every single nook and cranny of our hearts. We get healed for the sake of those we love around us, so that we can show them how to get healed. We take one step of healing after another step of healing, and each step brings some relief. But you know, it's okay if your pain is what someone else is going through right now. That's brought a lot of pain to me this week. See, my own pain is one thing. Someone else's pain is something else. And we've just got to be able to say, God, it breaks my heart seeing their pain. And we've got to be willing to talk about whatever's hurting us right now. We need to tell the truth in the presence of God. Final point, we need to pour out our pain. And it comes when we tell the truth. Lamentations 2:19 says, pour out your heart like water before the face of the Lord. Ecclesiastes 10:11 is not an invitation. It's an instruction. And it says, remove sorrow from your heart. I've got no right to hold my sorrow. You know, even during praise and worship this morning, some stuff came up. I'm like, this is really inconvenient because I haven't learned to buy waterproof makeup, so I'm now crying a bit and then have to go, and the makeup doesn't want to come off, so I had to smudge it in and make my eyeliner look like it was whatever the stuff you put on your brow. Yeah, anyway, eyeshadow, thank you. I had to make my eyeliner look like eyeshadow, smudge it all together, you know, because when pain comes up, I've got no right to push it down because my heart wasn't made to contain pain any more than yours was. You see, we have to pour out our pain. You know, we see it throughout the Psalms. Asaph was one of the worship leaders at the time of David. And he learned from his leader what to do with his pain. And he said in Psalm 130, verse 1, he just said, out of the depths I have cried out. You see, We've got to surrender that pain. When it comes up, don't push it down. See the feeling coming up on the inside as a prompt to you. It's time to pour out some pain. Anna, if you can just come and help me. Right now, I just want to lead you in prayer. And I also encourage you, you know, you can go back to this. And you know how we honor those who have gone ahead of us and they're in glory? We honor them by allowing God to heal our hearts. You know, we honor Jesus by allowing his longing to be fulfilled in our lives. So right now, we're in your own home, whether you're inside, outside, in your bedroom, in your sitting room, I just want to ask you to stand. Thank you, Jesus. If you just stand and shut your eyes, and we're just going to very simply go through these decisions, these stages in prayer right now. Just with your eyes shut. Right now, I just want to encourage you to make that decision that you will shelve any confusion. Any confusion. Thank you, Jesus. Supernatural love, please just play. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Just right now, with your eyes shut, just make a decision now. If there's any confusion you felt about any pain, any wound, any hurt in your heart, any torment, any difficulty you're going through right now with your eyes shut, just lift up your hands and I want to lead you in prayer. And we're just going to pray together with our eyes shut. Just say, Heavenly Father, I don't understand. I've had so many tormenting thoughts. I've had so many questions, so much confusion. But I trust you, Daddy God. So I make a decision right now. I give you my confusion. I shelve it in this season. I give you every tormenting thought, every mystery, everything that I don't have an answer to. I give it to you right now for safekeeping until the right time for us to look at it again together. And if you've been believing any lies, maybe about childhood things, maybe about sadness, maybe you thought you were always going to have to miss someone, or maybe you thought the certain pain you would have to take to the grave, just right now say, I lay down that lie. I lay it down in Jesus' name. Thirdly, if there's any truth that's been stuck, anything where that got you stuck, right now, just speak to the Lord, just you and the Lord. Tell him, Lord, this hurt, or that hurt, or I can't believe I didn't do this, or whatever it might be. Give that to the Lord. And then right now, just start to tell the Lord what has hurt you. The way we pour out our pain is that we talk to the Lord about the specific things that are hurting us right now. That's how we surrender our sadness. You know, there's a difference between allowing a couple of tears to trickle down our cheeks and crying out from the depths of our innermost being. And right now, I just want to ask you in the presence of God just to tell him, Lord, this is what hurts me. This is what has wounded me. This is why I'm sad. Sometimes you don't even know why. Specifically in that moment, then just say, God, I'm so sad, it hurts. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord God. And Father God, I thank you that you are the God who heals. So right now, Lord God, I speak your healing love to fill every heart. Just with your arms raised, just say thank you for your healing love. Thank you for your healing love, Lord. Thank you, Lord God, that you do what only you can do. And I will pursue my healing until I reach that place of no hurt and total wholeness. And Father, we give you all the praise. You know what? We serve a good God. So I want us to end this right now. I want you just to declare the goodness of God. Father, I thank you that you are good all the time. Father, I thank you, Lord God, that you see the end from the beginning. Father, I thank you that you lead us out in triumph. Father, I thank you, Almighty God, that you turn any river of pain that we surrender into a spring of healing that will bring relief and restoration to everyone around us. We give you all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' mighty name. Why don't we, wherever we are, just put our hands together for the Lord Jesus. God bless you.